Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:57 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 26th. Well, I thought that it was probably time to start looking at the pound against the euro again. We had a very impressive rebound on Friday in particular from the 115 area, and that 115 area was the upper side of the underlying base formation that persisted for more than 2 years. So this is a clear breakout. This now looks like a first step above the base. And the only conclusion we can reach from that is that the UK is going to remain closer to the EU than was thought possible 2 years ago. So the one upshot of that is that it's quite likely that either there is going to be a significant delay to the Brexit process, or that Theresa May's deal is going to be adopted. I rather think that some version of her deal is likely to be adopted, because there are a very significant number of lawmakers are going to feel very fearful, and rightfully so, of the security of their seats the next time there is an election. The polity are quite justly completely disillusioned with the political process in the UK, and what that suggests is that the next election is going to return a parliament that has a completely different complexion to what we have today. That's obviously a clear political risk, but not an imminent risk. In the short term, it's quite likely that we're going to see an additional advance by the pound. And then when we look at the stock market, well, the FTSE 100 pulled back sharply the same day that the pound rallied sharply, and it has been reasonably steady since. It is now right in the region of the trend mean. This is an area where we can anticipate that there is going to be some pause and consolidation. I think it is also important to keep an eye on the much broader picture, that the 7,000 area is the upper side of the underlying 17-year range. So it's not unexpected that we get some pause and consolidation around this area, and this also has first step above the long base characteristics. So as long as the lows from last month hold, well, then we can, I think, conclude that this is still a broad consolidation. Then, when we look at the FTSE 250, well, it has been in negative territory, and there is short-term evidence of some resistance coming through because it has broken its sequence of higher reaction lows. The big question now is whether it can rebound. Now, the other point, of course, is that mid-caps generally have been underperforming. That's equally the case in Germany as it is in the UK. And although the MDAX was in positive territory in here today, it has lagged some of the performances we've seen elsewhere. That's also the case in the USA with the Russell. And the Russell is in fact below the trend mean as well. So we also know, for example, that these types of companies are interest rate sensitive. Now, that's rather important. It's not simply that they're interest rate sensitive, it's also that they are reliant on availability of credit. So that's a significant issue when we look at the performance of banks. The banking sector was in mildly positive territory in here today, but that was a whopping downside weekly key reversal that we saw last week. That was, of course, in the USA. Then when we look at the FTSE 350 bank index, then what we're presented with is still a rather weak environment, and the index is, it looks at least, to be distributing below the trend mean, and until it can sustain a move above 4,000, then we have to conclude that this is still a downtrend. The Eurostoxx banks index has been doing better, but it hasn't been able to push back above the trend mean, and it has been in negative territory for the last 2 weeks. So there is work to do there, and not least because the simple fact of the matter is that we have the very real prospect of additional rounds of monetary stimulus to go in conjunction with the fiscal stimulus that has been mounting around the world. That is really quite bad news for the banking sector. In Japan, the Topix Banks Index has at least been able to pause around the 140 area, but it's vitally really in need of some clear sign of stimulus from the Bank of Japan. One thing I think is particularly interesting is we've had a lot of commentary recently about the inverted yield curve. So I thought it would also be interesting to take a look at the TED spread. Now, we haven't heard about the TED spread in an awfully long time. The reason that it became such a cause célèbre for those that were concerned about the credit markets was because of the way it spiked in 2007 and then really spiked in 2008. Well, it's testing its lows right now. Well, what this essentially tells us is that the banking sector has been neutered, that the appetite for risk has been excised. They no longer have their trading arms. They are being regulated almost to death. The cost of compliance has increased. Now we have the prospect of interest rates starting to come back down again. The very real prospect that yields are going to be compressed. The yield curve is basically flat. So banks are, they've been de-risked and they're not making any money. That's I think, reason enough to think that they're going to underperform. But in terms of their relative leverage, then the US banks in particular just don't have that kind of leverage. It's a different story, for example, in Europe, where there is a massive slug of non-performing debt. But even there, the non-performing debt ratios are starting to improve. But the fact that that we have had various parts of the yield curve inverting, that is, I think, not great for sentiment in the short term. It's also worth considering that we are in the last few days of the quarter. So when we look at the stock market, the S&P 500 has bounced incredibly impressively over the course of this quarter. So it's, I think, not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some profit taking in the next few days in order to unwind some of the short-term overbought conditions. And the most important question then is whether the S&P can hold its progression of higher reaction lows. When we look at the NASDAQ, then it's also been doing rather well over the course of the last 3 months, but it is overbought in the short term, so some consolidation does appear likely. Now, when we look at Apple, then I really think that it's quite likely that we're in another one of these more than year-long ranges. And it would be, I think, rather presumptuous to think that it is going to be capable of pushing on to new high ground anytime soon. And there is certainly a short-term overbought condition, so there is ample potential for some pause of consolidation. What's also, I think, worth considering with Netflix is that it's not going to have it all its own way any longer. Apple is going to be launching its own streaming service. Disney is in the prospect of launching its own streaming service. There is obviously the competition that it has from Hulu, and that it has probably grown about as much as it's going to grow in the developed markets. In fact, if we look at where the growth is really coming from in the business, then it's all coming from overseas, and about half of Netflix's revenue now comes from overseas. that's also part of the reason why in the USA you're starting to see some Turkish programming on Netflix that's got English dubs, because they're developing domestic programming for an increasingly large number of overseas countries. Well, by that rationale, it's only a matter of time before we start to see Bollywood programming on English language Netflix, because that is the market they absolutely need to break into if the company is ever going to meet the sales targets that are in front of it. It needs to be able to continue to grow at this exponential rate in order to justify the valuation. And that is obviously going to become a more challenging prospect as it embarks upon growth internationally, which is generally more expensive, and gets more competition from streaming services at home. So that's, I think, one of the big questions, whether Netflix is going to be able to hold on to this range. There's been a significant loss of momentum over the course of the last 2 months, and it has not been able to push through the highs posted in early October. So I think there is a clear risk here with Netflix. Even if all we're going to see is some consolidation, this is a very volatile share. Well, then when we look at international markets, the outlook for China is going to have a very significant determinant on what goes on in Europe. And the A-share index was in negative territory in here today. It does now look like it is going to unwind this short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean. The banking sector has been looking like that for a while now, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. I think it is worth considering that the banking sector has been leading on the upside and now during this corrective phase as well. I haven't looked at the chart of the renminbi in a while, because it hasn't really been doing anything. It's been largely range-bound over the course of the last few weeks. The Chinese don't particularly want to have the strongest currency in the world, but and that's particularly true when they do need to, I think, stimulate the economy in some fashion. That, I think, this chart suggests that the renminbi is encountering at least short-term resistance in the region, at least, of the trend mean. But the much broader picture is that they are appealing to the banks to extend greater credit. That suggests that the program against the shadow banking sector that persisted for the last 2.5 years is in fact over. Meanwhile, India continues to be really quite steady, and it's really right in the region of the peak from last year, and this continues to look like a recovery scenario. And the Bombay Banks Index is the only banking sector in the world to be at new highs, and that is a clear indication of the extent of credit growth that the Indian market represents. Then the rupee has been able to hold on to the advance that it put in from the beginning of March, and it is below the trend, or the dollar is now below the trend mean. There is obviously some scope here for a reversionary process and some steadying, but as long as the rupee is not pushing on to new low ground, or taking out the 72.5, much less the 75 area, then that's likely to be a rather positive outcome for the Indian markets. I think when we think about markets that are still really trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner, then there are a comparatively small number of those, and India is one of them. Then, of course, we have the election coming up in Indonesia as well, and the market there has been really rather quiet over the course of the last month, but it is, this really looks like a consolidation within shooting distance of the peak put in at the beginning of 2018. So this also looks like a benign environment in terms of the upside. Well, what this also helps to highlight is that when we think about emerging markets, it isn't simply that they are trading on a more attractive valuation, but that They have got some internal factors that are helping to sustain their outperformance, and that's likely to, I think, be a theme for much of this year. There has also been the phenomenon that gold prices have been trading much more in line with emerging markets than they have with anything else over the course of the last year. And gold has been bouncing from the region of the trend mean, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. But the much bigger picture is that you have this big rounding base that's been ranging below $1,400 since 2013. And when it can eventually sustain a move above that level, well, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Silver prices, by contrast, are still right around the region of $15. And platinum is looking a bit more bullish and has been able to push back up towards the upper side of its six-month base formation. But it really does need now to hold this move and sustain a move back above $900 to demonstrate a return to medium-term demand dominance. Copper prices have been largely range-bound over the course of the last month, but they did pull back rather sharply on Friday, and now we're starting to see just the first evidence of some steadying starting to come through in the region of the upper side of the underlying base formation and in the region of the trend mean. So this is a rather important area for support to start coming back in. And that's a generally it's a common theme right across the industrial resources. Now, when we look at coffee prices, Arabica has been steady around this 95 cent area. Having got up to 100, it pulled back in a rather slow manner, considering that it took a day to rally from 95 to 100. It took a month to come back to 95. So we are starting to see some evidence of bullish trampolining, but it's going to have to be able to sustain a move above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, when we look at some of the agriculturals, well, corn prices have been steadying around the 380 cent level, and the upper side of this base formation, you can see, is also tends to be really quite cyclical, and we do get significant contract changes in June's. So there is the potential that we could get another rally up from between here and June until we get the contract change, and then prices come all the way back down again. That's that kind of cyclicality to the market is also what's helping to drive this really impressive advance in lean hogs, and the price there is coming back up towards the peaks that it put in June's of the last few years. It's just that the move is happening faster or earlier on this occasion, which suggests that there is additional potential for some tightness in the market because of the slaughter schedule and because of African swine flu, which is not just in China, but has also been found in both Brussels and in Canada. So, or Belgium, I should say, and Canada. So that's a significant issue that could be a short-term bullish catalyst for the price. And when we look at live cattle, then it's not simply that we're getting strength in the grains and beans and in unique scenarios like lean hogs, but that live cattle had rallied over the course of the last year all the way back up towards the upper side of the two-year range. So this is the area where we might anticipate some resistance starting to come back in. Then something else that we're seeing in the commodity complex is that lumber is trading with a very close correlation to what we're seeing in the home builders. Well, housing starts came in disappointingly low in here today, and that has pulled back the lumber price in the short term. But mortgage rates are coming down rather quickly, and that's helping the home builders. It is certainly in their interest to build more houses if mortgage rates are starting to come down. So that's likely to be a bullish phenomenon for the lumber price in the short term. I think the most important point is that we are getting significant movement in the bond markets. And 10-year yields today were pretty much unchanged. So that's telling us that this is just a breather, really. We haven't had a significant counter-trend rally. There is certainly a short-term overbought condition, but that's all it is. It's just a short-term overbought condition. We also have the scope here for the short-term overbought condition to be unwound on stock markets, particularly as we get to the end of the quarter. So there is certainly that potential outcome. And I think we're at a situation in the markets where we have the real potential for some pause of consolidation. But the much bigger picture is we're going to get a significant stimulus coming through from central banks, and that will eventually be priced in. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.